Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we would like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you in Christ's name. I trust and I pray that your heart is filled exceedingly today with the Word of God. That is important because the Word of God will preserve you. The Word of God will keep you. The Word of God will enable you, empower you, and strengthen you that you might overcome the enemy here in the time of the end. And needless to say, each believer, each child of God, is going to need more of His Word in your heart than ever before. It'll be 4 years ago in January when I was on an extended fast. And God gave me the one word, acceleration. Needless to say, you and I have witnessed profuse, profound acceleration, and all of it leads and tends toward evil. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, He said, my word will be challenged. My word will be challenged more than ever before, and you are not to deviate. You are not to compromise. You're to become more rigid in my word than you've ever been before in your life, because there's going to be a deluge, a freshet, a flood of attacking the word of Almighty God. They question the validity, the veracity, the authenticity, and even God Himself as being the author of the Holy Scriptures. And as never before, you're witnessing more and more people defying blatantly, openly, in rebellion, everything that God has declared in His Word. This nation elected in 2008 one of the most vile, wicked, heinous individuals that could have ever been elected. And I believe this man, his mission is to destroy and damn this nation. I noticed the other day a small news excerpt, audio video clip of Carly Fiorina. I want to say she was in New Hampshire, and one of the men sitting at the diner room spoke to her and said, yes, we have a black Muslim in the White House. And she just kept walking. She should have turned around and said, you are absolutely right. And how the media bashed Donald Trump, because he did not defend the president. You can tell me you're the Pope every day of your life, but I'm not stupid. I can look at you and tell you, no, you're not the Pope. This man can say every day and 1,000 times on Sunday, I am a Christian. I say, sir, you are a liar. You are a blatant liar, because there is no fruit of Christianity in your life. You see, I'm so tired of people say, well, you're not to judge. Oh, yes, I am. And yes, with what judgment I meet, then I will get the same judgment in return. So bring it on. Bring it on. If you live right, if you do right, your heart is pure, your hands are clean, it doesn't matter. They're going to lie on you anyway. They're going to castigate. They're going to impinge your life no matter what. No matter what. You see, you can go back into the early 70s and dig up my past. You'll find all sorts of sordid ugliness, sinful degradation, debasement. But in June the 6th, 1978, on my knees, I repented and got right with God. Since then, there is no police record. There are no DUIs. There are no arrest records or warrants. So you judge me, and of course, when you live right and do right, what do you have to fear? What do you have to fear if you are a godly man or woman and you know you're honestly living right? But to tell me every day you're a Christian, and then I see you drunk, I see you using four-letter words, you watch pornography, you commit adultery, you're single and you fornicate, you lie. Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You're telling me what kind of person you are. I don't really have to judge you. You're telling me, your life tells me what and who you are. Your life is a living epistle or a living hypocrite. Jesus made no bones about it in Revelation 3:15-16. He said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, either get hot or get cold. Even he has an element of respect for coldness. You don't profess anything. You're just totally ungodly. But because you're tepid, lukewarm, indifferent, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. This president is anti-Christ, anti-Christian, period. Millions have been, Christians have been killed in the Middle East. What does he say about it? But today, he declares December as National Muslim Appreciation Month. He appreciates the rapist. He appreciates the murderers. He appreciates the child molesters. You see, political correctness has done this nation in, and there is no recovering of political correctness in this nation. We will never recover from it. Now, you as a Christian have never been a part of it, so you have nothing to recover from and of, because you never were politically correct. You were a blood-bought, born-again child of God, and so be it. But politicians, political preachers, politicians, don't want to get involved in the fray, just want to talk about you having a good life. Just having a good life, and everything's hunky-dory, and one day the trump's going to sound, and we're all going to float out of here, and we'll never, ever have to endure any hardship, any afflictions, any persecution, any grave trials, because this is merrily, merrily down the stream we go. Barack Hussein Obama held a press conference today to announce his decision, which will make the month of December National Muslim Appreciation Month. The Muslim community deserves our full acceptance and respect, Obama told reporters. I do not accept them. I do not respect them. You want to become born again? Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? I will respect you and I will accept you. We have disrespected these innocent and peaceful people in so many ways. We've killed millions of Muslims overseas since the September 11th attacks. But he didn't want to say that a handful of them destroyed 3,000 when they took down the Twin Tower buildings, even though I believe it was an inside job. You see, my feeling is the government knew this was going to happen, 9/11. So they let it come to fruition, and then they take and enhance and magnify the situation to then offer you a solution. They knew they were going to fly into the Twin Tower buildings. Years ago, I wish I still had it. I don't know what I did with it. Somebody sent me a book, and the outside cover of it, it was a federal book of sorts. The outside cover showed the Twin Tower buildings with planes flying into them, kind of in a cartoon depiction. You see, don't think our government is not evil and vile and in cahoots with all of this. They just let it happen, and they put the onus on the perpetrators, but they then take that, and the first thing they did was implement the Patriot Act to start getting control of your life. Order out of chaos. They want the chaos to come, and then they're going to give you purportedly some type of order. So Obama says we've killed millions of Muslims overseas since September the 11th attacks. How many policemen, firemen, and rescuers have died just because of the stuff they breathe at the Twin Tower buildings? How many have died? Thousands upon thousands. Obama goes on to say they're not all bad. In fact, most of them are good. So from now on, December will be a month to celebrate the Muslim people, the Sunnah, and the Quran. Can you imagine a Christian celebrating that? A Christian celebrating Hinduism, Shintoism, Mormonism? Christians don't celebrate that. They celebrate Jesus Christ. They celebrate Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Psalms 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We magnify, we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ because we're Christians. We don't celebrate anything else. We don't celebrate anything else. So it's an apostate. It's a reprobate that would say, I'm going to celebrate Islam. Can you imagine me coming on the radio next week and say to all of you listeners, and especially the handful of people that support this ministry, and I say, now listen, we're going to celebrate Islam this whole month. Brother Langford, I thought you was a Christian. Well, I am. We're going to push Jesus off to the side for a month, and we're going to celebrate Hinduism, okay? We're going to celebrate Islam the next month, and we're going to celebrate this and that the next month, and we'll get back around to celebrating Jesus somewhere down the road. But right now, I want to celebrate everything else. I want to magnify everything else. Is it not literally disgusting and repugnant to no end? December will be a month to celebrate the Muslim people, the Sunnah, and the Quran. I mean, listen to the asininity, and then tomorrow he'll be back on there saying, well, now listen, I'm a Christian. And, of course, during his interview in 2008 with George Stephanopoulos, he thanked John McCain for not making his Muslim religion an issue in the campaign. And of course, good old boy George corrected him, said, "You mean your Christian religion?" Oh, yeah. I mean my Christian religion. What am I talking about? Can you imagine me coming on the air tomorrow and saying, I want to thank all you people for not making my Muslim religion an issue as I broadcast? That's not a fraudulent Freud error. I'm going to use a little Southern language. Either you are or you ain't. You are or you ain't. I mean, the man's name is Barack Hussein Obama. The only difference between Obama and Osama is Obama spelled his name with a B, Osama spelled his name with an S. But he's not a Muslim. Okay. With all respect to every Hispanic, Mexican, or whoever might be listening to me, if you tell me your name is Jose Rodriguez, I'm going to guess you are Spanish or Mexican or Hispanic or something of that nature. I mean, your name tells me. Your name tells me Jose Rodriguez. But yet people are so much in denial, they'll believe a lie and they're going to be damned. Now here's the problem. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth." The word truth there in the Greek is Jesus. "Who believed not Jesus, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to become as bold as lions here in the end. Because we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be slaughtered. We're going to be led like the lamb to the slaughter if we don't stand up and do what's right and godly. And quit being a bunch of pacifists sitting around doing nothing. And men and women that sit under these ministries that are pansies, you're a pacifist. You're the one you're following would not dare say what I'm saying because it's not politically correct and it's judgmental. So you're going to follow the riffraff. I sit and I'm amazed at how men can get such, and women can get such vast followings, and there's absolutely no accountability to their lives. I marvel the snake oil. You turn the television on at midnight and watch Christian television, you got more snake oil handlers and sellers and purveyors, and people send them money. They don't preach anything. You see, Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection." People get saved. Now you preach doctrine. Now you preach grace. Now you preach spiritual maturity. And you certainly preach against sin. There's hardly a week goes by that someone says, "Have you seen the movie so-and-so?" Let me say it again. I do not go to movies. I do not have Netflix in my home. I do not watch that stuff, okay? So quit asking me, do I see these movies? Now, that's not to be condescending. That's not to beat you down. That's to tell you, don't ask me, did I see that movie, because I don't do that. I haven't been to a movie probably since 1974 or 5. The last time I went into a movie house. And I know you can get all of this stuff on television now. But I don't go there. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're lost, you're not saved, and you're going to hell if you do that. I'm just telling you, David Langford does not do that because I've been admonished by the Word of God to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you. You see what I'm saying? So I just try to lay aside because, you see, Satan is so crafty. He'll lure you in. He will reel you in so subtly, and then you're snared and he has you, and now you're terminated, you're ended. Mr. Khalid Mateo, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party, told Fox News he is pleased with Obama and his decision and actions. I spoke with President Obama by telephone yesterday and personally thanked him for what he is doing for the Muslim community. Mateo, it was a misprint. They've spelt it different ways in the article. But this is definitely a step in the right direction. I explained to him, praise Allah. Praise Allah. Now, what would you think if I said to you, I'm a Christian, I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God. What if I said to you tomorrow, because of some kind of legality or quote-unquote celebration, I told you, now will you praise Allah with me? People who don't ever write me, don't ever support me, would start bashing me and say, the man's compromised. He's lost it. He's backslid. Sure you would. And the truth is, I would be if I told you, let's praise Allah. Give unto the Lord the glory due his holy name. You see, Allah does not exist. Now, Muhammad existed, but Allah does not exist. There is no other God. There is no other God. There is none besides the true and the living God, Jehovah. And all Satan done was warped a man's mind and came as an angel of light and gave him another gospel. And they say it's the Quran. And it emulates in so many ways the Old Testament. Abraham, Moses, the dietary programs, etc. That's even more scary when I think about that. As I just said that, I thought about the dietary program of Islam today, and Christians are embracing the same dietary program. Wow. Wow, that just came out unexpectedly. All meats are to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and through prayer. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Yeah, I want to stay away as far as I can from false doctrine as I possibly can, erroneous heretical teachings. Yeah, because Paul said, every creature of God is good, and nothing. Does that mean nothing? Nothing means nothing. To be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I'll stay with Jesus Christ and the gospel of redemption. Because like I've said, I've never seen anything relative to redemption in the Ten Commandments. If you find it, send it to me, please. Office of Civil Rights say disguised boy has right to shower with girls. The Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights says that the disguised boy has been discriminated against because he is not allowed to shower with naked girls. Not allowed to shower with naked girls. Yep. Yep, that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. The old boy is not allowed to shower with naked girls. Now, the Education Department, well, let's first back up. Federal education authorities staking out their firmest position yet on increasingly contentious issues found Monday that an Illinois school district violated anti-discrimination laws when it did not allow a transgender student who identifies as a girl and participates on a girls' sports team to change and shower in the girls' locker room without restrictions. The Education Department gave 30 days to the officials of Township High School District 211 to reach a solution or face enforcement, which could include administrative law proceedings by a Justice Department court action. The district could lose some or all of its Title IX funding. In the letter sent Monday, the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Education told the Palestine district that requiring a transgender student to use private changing and showering facilities was a violation of the student's rights under Title IX, a federal law that bans sex discrimination. The student who identifies as female but was born male should be given unfettered access to girls' facilities, the letter said. The boy should be given unfettered access to naked girls. What's confusing about that? Now watch the asininity. The boy should be given unfettered access. The next paragraph says the district said she now, but the boy should be given unfettered access, but the district now says she was allowed to change inside girls' locker rooms, but only behind a curtain. The student, who has not been publicly identified, has said she would probably use that curtain to change, but she and the federal government have insisted that she be allowed to make that decision voluntarily and not because of requirements by the district. So they call him a boy, but they call him a she. And then the article says, that's right, the boy should decide whether he gets to see the other girls naked and show them his private parts. What our client wants is not hard to be understood. She, which is a boy, wants to be accepted for who he is and to be treated with dignity and respect like any other student, said John Knight, director of the LGBT and HIV Project of the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. Now, here's what's happened because of the Supreme Court justices' adjudication back in June of giving people the right to commit same marriage, the rights as heterosexual people to be married. You see, it doesn't stop. Sin knows no boundaries. How many 16-year-old guys in high school would not like to go in there and shower with teenage girls? I mean, let's just be honest. Let's just look at this in the natural. Christian people, of course, would look at it spiritually. But sinner people that have any kind of morals knows this is immoral. But Christians say not only is it immoral, it's damning to the soul. It's damning to the soul. But the boy just wants a little dignity and respect, just like any other boy who wants to see girls naked in closed quarters. Yeah, that's right. That's all he wants. He don't even have to go online or do sexting. He just walks in there and says, hey, I'm a girl. My program was titled today, The Rise of More Evil. Oh, you've seen nothing yet. No. You see, as I just said, sin knows no boundaries. It never stops. It never reaches a leveling out place and levels off. Degradation, debasedness continues to degrade until everything is ruined and destroyed. Now, I'm 60 years old. First of all, even when I was 16 years old, had I went to my principal and said, listen, I'm really a girl, and you're going to let me take showers with the girls, the senior girls. We're going to take showers together, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Do you hear me? My school principal, Mr. Waters, and his assistant, Mr. Edmiston, would have bounced me out on my head and said, don't come back in here again. They would have tenderized my head. Yeah, I said that. They would have tenderized my head. And had I dared tried to go in there, I'd been locked up, put in jail. But the government that's supposed to protect us. Now, what's going to happen when that little boy, I should say little boy, when he goes in there and he rapes two or three of the little girls? Now, I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. It's not rape. You see, it was consent, and I'm a lesbian. So it can't be rape because I'm a lesbo. Now this is the asininity and the craziness and how ludicrous it will become. Just like Bruce Jenner. Can you believe the accolades that a man, if I remember, Bruce Jenner is 6 feet and 5 inches tall. He's either 6'3 or 6'5. Won the decathlon in 1976. You talk about an athlete. You talk about a guy that was an athlete, and lo and behold, 40 years later, he finds out he's a stinking girl. He didn't know it. He didn't know it. He was married to a lady named Linda Thompson, one of Elvis Presley's old girlfriends, and he had 4 children, but he just found out he was a girl. Wow. Man, if you weren't sane, if you didn't have your good conscience, you'd wonder and question yourself, what in the world is going on? Listen to this other article. Putin warns ISIS. Obama warns school district about girls' shower room. Listen to this article. This is a truth that could not make good fiction in a low-budget B-movie, much less a politics in the most dignified and morally advanced nation the world has ever known. My first inclination was to title this piece, Obama Threatens to Spank School District for Not Favoring a Single Transgender Student. Too crass, I thought. But along came an article before I got to write one word. It was entitled Complete Anarchy as Obama Invades Girls' Showers. The subtitle was even more scathing and reads, Feds Force School to Comply with Profoundly Stupid Rules. Good online writers hyperlink their important references for safety's sake, but this one had to be connected for the reader whose incredulity could not allow them to believe what they were reading. The story's not complicated. One boy who thinks he is a girl wants to play on girls' teams, be allowed into the girls' locker rooms and shower with the girls, and is not satisfied with the broad accommodations the school district has already made. Now, Liberalism Standard Night in shining honor, the ACLU has come to the boys' defense, along with Barack Obama breathing out warnings that the school will lose its Title IX federal funding if it does not speedily comply. Since the boy had no genital alterations, his male anatomy would have to be seen by any and all girls showering. Their discomfort and any other feelings that may conjure will be ignored, for the acceptation and progressivism has once again proven that America is in the throes of collective reprobation. What we have essentially is a world where ISIS kills and beheads Christians and others, followed by enough aborted babies to start a new country, and a world on the verge of World War III. Safely tucked into the lavish environs of the White House, we have a president who is concerned with what takes place in a girl's shower room. This is a truth that could not make good fiction in a low-budget B-movie, much less a policy issue in the once most dignified and morally advanced nation the world has ever known. This writer is fully aware, for the most part, that my warnings about our moral decline fall largely on deaf ears, but this, too, is part of prophecy. All of prophecy serves to describe this event and a thousand more just like it. Evil will have its day, and when it flowers, judgment will begin to fall. Don't look now, but that has already begun. Addressing this world-class absurdity has become a daily affair for those warning our nation that her moral decline is now in the most advanced stages, known as reprobation. Here is the key. Reprobation is a judgment. It is the very first stage of judgment and is followed by progressive and far more serious physical actions like the rise and fall of nations, wars, and natural calamities. Reprobation is the inability to discern between right and wrong. Liberalism, socialism, progressivism, false and apostate theologies and religions are the very medium by which evil brings these judgments upon everyone. Now, I was talking to a dear friend last week, and something was said in the conversation that stoked my mind about how all of this starts out with a group of men who have an agenda, like Darwinism or John Dewey or others who started back in the late 1800s creating absolute heresy and fallacies and mendacities. And we would term these men and these, at the time, small followings as cult. If David Koresh, who the Attorney General burned down his complex, her name slips my mind, Janet Reno. Does anybody question whether she was a lesbian or not? But they would say that David Koresh was a cult. C-U-L-T. Cult. And he had his, 80, 90, 100 followers at his compound. And people who are not spiritually grounded and know the truth fall after these lies and heresies and mendacities constantly. But when Doug and I were talking, I used the word cult. Well, that's a cult. And then it hit me. What does the cult do? Well, the cult starts cultivating, cultivation. In other words, they work at creating an environment, a situation where they cultivate the false doctrine and the lies and whatever that it might be that they're trying to accomplish. So you have the cult, which then cultivates for many, many years, trying to bring to fruition their mindset. And then what you have in the end is a culture. And I just felt like that was a little bit of insight from the Lord. You have cult, cultivation, then you have culture. And now we use the term, well, this is their culture. This is what's been passed on. So now it becomes a culture, a way of life. The root word, of course, is cult, C-U-L-T. So the cult cultivates, and after you cultivate for numerous decades, you end up with a particular culture. As Karl Marx said, the step between communism and capitalism is socialism. And of course, this started in your face back in 1935. Social security. The government takes from everyone a small, used to be, it gets larger by the year, but they take a portion from the culture, the people, the society, and they turn around and they give it to somebody else. Now, they've cultivated this, and it began its birth in 1935, known as Social Security. It was a social thing. Then Lyndon Baines Johnson came on the scene after the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy and began to really be a purveyor of socialism. Housing projects, food stamp, welfare, more and more and more and more and more. And now we have in the 21st century a culture of entitlements because this is what the devil planned years ago. Well, as I said, it doesn't happen overnight. No, it doesn't happen overnight. It is a process, and Satan is a master at doing this. And he has his minions and his cohorts, and we've had 8 years nearly of a man in the White House that's helping to cultivate profusely to ultimately bring this culture to full-blown success. Was it Supreme Court Justice the other day, Scalia, who said, we're one justice away from destroying the Constitution of the United States of America? You see, it doesn't happen overnight. Nobody backslides overnight. I preached a message years ago. I need to dig it out and find it and rehearse it and preach it again, entitled, Drifting Away from God. Drifting away from God. Because you just don't backslide Tuesday morning. Months and months ago, you quit praying faithfully. Well, first, you stop giving. You know, the devil tells you, well, you can't afford to give, so you stop tithing and giving. Then the next thing you do, your prayer life stops. Then your Bible reading stops. Then you become totally backslid, and you go back like the dog to his vomit, and you're back at the bars, you're back at the pornography dens, you're back gambling, you're back to cursing, you're back to swearing, you're back to drinking, you're back to doping, you're back to what you used to be before God saved you. But you didn't wake up on Tuesday morning and just go out there and act like that. It was a progression. That's why you hear the term progressives, progressivism. It's a process. You see, my pundits think all hell's getting ready to break loose, and it could, but there's more time left because you're going to witness more reprobation come to fruition, and then there will be the whole acceptance of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast. All of this is ultimately going to have its climatic climax, zenith, pinnacle, whatever you want to term it. It will eventually come full circle. And people will tell you, that's not the Antichrist, but go ahead and worship him. Even our churches, you see, our churches, 100 years ago, let's just back up 75 years ago. I'm not 75 yet. But let's back up 75 years ago. I don't care if it was a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, Lutheran. These old-timers preached the Word of God with Holy Ghost conviction. And every time another generation of preachers came up, they didn't believe like Daddy or they didn't believe like Grandpa. They were wrong. We're going to change a few things. And now, they're not dramatic changes, but we just don't believe that way like they believe. I had a guy the other day email me and said, it's just not as black and white as you want us to believe. Excuse me, sir, I'm looking at my Bible and it's printed in white paper with black ink and red where Jesus spoke. That's pretty much black and white. Why then did Jesus say, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, if it's just not that plain? The truth is, the brother doesn't want it to be that plain because that gives him an excuse to live in sin. I've had women write me and tell me their husband tells them it's okay for them to have other women in their lives. I mean, I know the Bible says the wife or the woman is the weaker vessel, but women, don't believe that lie straight out of hell. Paul said, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. It doesn't say wives, it doesn't say husbands, it's singular, one, period. And ladies, you don't have to write me and ask me, is he telling you the truth? He's telling you a lie. He doesn't have a conscience. If he thinks he can have three or four women and be married to you, he's reprobate. He said, it's pretty hard, Pastor. I'm just telling you the truth because I care about you knowing the truth. But this is a process. 75 years ago, you walked into any church, fundamentally, they were preaching the Word of God. Then the next generation of preachers says, well, that's a little bit too hard. That's a little old school. We're not going to do that now. We're going to do this. Well, now here comes the next generation, then the next generation, and now we're to the point where pastors are marrying men and men and women, and God loves all of this. God just loves us doing all of this sinful stuff. He just loves us to no end. You see how it's literally brainwashing the people. It's taking that which is godly and holy and defiling it. That's why Paul said he wanted to present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ, that you've not been fornicated with a bunch of false, lying doctrines. And I'm doing my best to stand on my watch and preach an uncompromising message, and I'm bashed, I'm castigated, I'm criticized, I'm shot at for just speaking the truth of God, period. Just preaching the truth. I don't preach lies. I'm like Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. I try to preach as pure and as much Bible as I can when I preach messages. I try to give you nothing but the Word of the Lord. No sleight of hand, no chicanery, no trickery, no trying to play on words and verbiage and this and that, but just straightforward Holy Ghost preaching. And you wonder why I make a lot of Christians mad? I make a lot of professing Christians mad because I don't water it down. I believe you can lose your salvation. I believe you can be saved and lose it and die and go to hell because Judas Iscariot was not only saved, he was an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't tell me he wasn't, because Jesus called him and ordained him and anointed him, and he sent him out and he preached the word and he cast out devils. Now let's see the devil do that. Well, he wasn't saved. So give me Bible that shows that, sir. You can't, but I can show you Bible where the Bible says he had part of this ministry and apostleship. Just give me that much, that he was not. Acts 1, 25, 26, 27. Oh, well, I'm going to believe it anyway. Well, believe a lie and be damned. I'm giving you Bible. You won't give me Bible. Just like one lady wrote me and said, my notes say, woman, take your notes and throw them away. Give me Bible. Don't give me some other man's notes. I want the truth. I want the Word of God. In a court of law, of course, that's a joke now. They ask you to swear or to affirm you'll tell nothing but the truth, so help you God. So help you God. They don't want God's help because they want to tell a lie. And God will give you a conscience wherein you won't want to tell a lie. I'm telling you, evil is going to keep arising and arising, and this seventh beast government will ultimately come to fruition in the end, something like a League of Nations, United Nations. I tend to believe it'll be 10 nations out of the Middle East and not the United Nations, and certainly not a revised Roman Empire. I believe it'll be 10 kings from the Middle East, Saudis, whoever they might be, but They'll all come together in some type of agreement, and they will. Revelation 17:17 says, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. They'll give their power to the beast, the Antichrist. This little horn will rise up. You got people running around saying, well, there's no literal Antichrist. Well, then Paul's a liar. Daniel's a liar. Jesus is a liar. He said you'll see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the place it ought not, Matthew 24:15. Well, that's not what that means. I know. You're smarter, you're brighter, you have more revelation than anybody, so what Jesus said is a moot point. It's insignificant. What Daniel said in Daniel chapter 7 is meaningless. Yeah. What Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 is meaningless. I'm telling you, people are going to believe a lie and they're going to be damned. It's called being a reprobate. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's what they're going to do. Change the truth of God into a lie. They're doing it right now, changing the truth of God into a lie. They're going to worship. They're going to serve the creature, the man, four-footed beast, creeping things, more than the Creator, which is Jesus, the Lord Christ. And because of that rebellion, God is going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? It is a mind that has already been judged by God. They rejected God. As they rejected God, God rejected them. Reprobate. they've already been judged. When you become a reprobate, you've been judged, and you've lost your ability to adjudicate anything correctly. That's what frightens me, as we have judges, whether they're district, superior, state, federal, Supreme Court justices. These people adjudicate matters in my and your life every day, and they don't know that it's wrong for two women or two men to get married. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're reprobates. Anthony Scalia said, "We're one Supreme Court justice away from the destruction of the United States Constitution." Now, that's how deep we're into this, and the rise of more evil will continue. And guys like myself will become more and more few and far between. And the next generation, I'm telling you this in closing today, I'm one of the last bastions and vestiges of what we call true Bible preaching. Once I'm dead and gone, you look at them. You look at what's on television. You look what comes off the radio. You watch these hucksters. You watch these charlatans. They don't preach the purity of the Word of the living God. They preach a half-baked gospel and want you to put the icing on it and say, "Ooh, look how good this is." I'm telling you, we are in trouble. But all hope is not lost. I can fast. I can pray. You can fast. You can pray. You can testify. You can stand on the word of Almighty God and say, "I'm not changing. I'm not backing up. I'm going to stand for what is right, period." And if that cost me my life, or suffering and cross-bearing, so be it. So be it. You'll watch these whimsy, worthless hirelings fall and fold up like cheap suits when the pressure is applied. They won't go there. They won't stand. Because they think, number one, they're getting out of here anyway. And if they got to suffer to preach the gospel, that's not what they bargained for. As I said before, the mayor of Houston never went after Joy Osteen's sermons, but she went for the other preacher's sermons. I wonder why.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.